Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank and praise the Lord. Well, good afternoon to each and everyone. Good afternoon. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. So glad that you tuned in. Trust so far that you had a glorious weekend and you are ready for Monday. This is the day that the Lord have made, and I pray that you join in with me and let's rejoice and be glad in it, because God is good. Jesus is alive and well, and if you'd have been born again, he's on the inside of you. And I pray you're like me, you get more and more acquainted with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are triune being. They are one, yes, and we can. And they are one in us. So I pray you continue to develop that relationship with the Lord. We've been talking. We started last week. We've been talking about really how the enemy, when the enemy lands attack on your mind. Well, your mind is in your soul. We are spirit, soul, and body, and our soul is consist of mind, will, and emotion. We're gonna continue to do that because it has really been a blessing to me. And as the Lord and I shared it, I was with Fresh Anointing with Apostle Murray and his congregation on yesterday. And I thank and praise the Lord for as the Lord had me to continue to talk about that, because I want you to go to Romans, the sixth chapter, because even though as a born-again believers, the Lord let me know a lot of believers is really having a battle. They're struggling with their inner man, you know. Like I said, we as a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And some of them, you know, they just having a hard time. Because after we ministered this word yesterday, some people came up for prayer, and they got delivered. And I'm telling you, and I done kind of went this road a little bit before, you know. But listen, God didn't just send Jesus for us to continue to walk around here lost, a living hopeless life. But Jesus came to restore our relationship with the Father. But in doing that, he wants us to be able to experience victory while we on this earth. And I truly believe that we're living in the last of the last days. And because of that, it's so many things is happening. We see murder. We see people committing suicide. People doing all kind of things, you know. And if you ain't a born again believer, and you can be born again, but if you ain't rooted and grounded, they used to sing a song, you got to get anchored in Jesus. If you is not rooted, if the word of God is not rooted and grounded in you, even though the Bible declared in John 10:10 how Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And that's something that, you know, that my message and the message that God give me is to teach and help people, you know, how to experience or see the word of God be manifest in our life. You know, so many born-again believers as I travel, and sometimes, and I've been there before, you know, I'm about like Paul. I haven't comprehended everything, you know. But my goal is everything is written in me, in this covenant that I have with Almighty God. I want to see it fulfilled and manifest in my life. And that's God's will for all of us. You know, when I first got saved, you know, even before I got saved, I would read the Bible because I read it to my grandmother. But the thing about it, what I was seeing, the victory that I seen people was experiencing it. And, you know, I was 8 at that time, but even with that summer, and as I continued to grow up, I had the letter, but I didn't have the spirit of the letter. But even after I got born again, I had so many questions. God, why I'm not seeing this manifest in people's lives, you know? And I did not know that God's promise is conditional. I didn't know that. I didn't know that God gave us a will. The free moral agent. God gave us a will, and God is not going to override our will. See, I didn't know none of that, and because of that, I continued to, you know, you ever done seen a dog chase his tail, or better yet, I kept going round and round. I was in a cycle, constantly being defeated, and I would find myself, it would just frustrate me, it would scratch me out, because I would be reading this word and trying to do everything God told me, not realizing that God have to enable us to do it, you know, then know that I had to walk by faith and not by sight. It was just all of that in the beginning of my walk with the Lord. Yeah, I had some peace. I had this peace, but then I had this frustration too, you know. Now, I try to be transparent because, you know, sometimes, you know, people would look at born again believers, especially fivefold ministry. Oh, that, you know, they're excluded from trouble. They're excluded from frustration. We are not excluded from trouble. Trouble can bring frustration. Trouble can bring stress to you. It can cause you to be depressed. But as the Bible tells us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more knowledge, understanding, and revelation that we receive, it helps us. It'll help us and it'll show us how to overcome adversity. It'll show us how to overcome these battles. And you know, I thank God for Joyce Meyer. One of her best-selling books was The Valor of the Mind. And there, too, again, we have to know we have an enemy, but we need to know what and how he targeted us and how is God's will for us to overcome, to endure, and conquer. And I'm going somewhere with this morning, so we're going to start in Romans, the 6th chapter. Paul told Timothy in the last days how many are going to depart from the faith. He talked about false teachers. The spirit of deception, Jesus talked about that in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And so we're going to continue with that. When the enemy launch attack on your mind, you need to know how the Bible tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Well, if you ain't going to have no resisting power if you're not submitted to God. It's nothing, please understand what I'm finna to say. We go to church to fellowship. We go to church so we can be equipped. But listen, just going to that building, it's not going to save you. Just going to the building of the church and being on a committee, it's not going to save you. It's not going to deliver you when adversity comes. But if you going there for the right reason, you going to expect God to speak to you through his man or woman of God, and you going to be taught this word. They're going to teach you this word and show you how to walk in this liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. The Bible says where the spirit of Christ is liberty. But if you going just to be said, I'm going and my name on the roll book. See, I used to think myself, you know, if you go to church, you know, people go to church, everybody go to church saved. I find out that's not true. I didn't know nothing about religion and tradition, and these are some of the things. After I got born again and began to seek out the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 6:33, I got in touch with God. I got in touch with the Trinity. I began to find out who my creator was. Then I found out why was I created? What was God's plan and purpose for me being on? It was so many things. But the thing that really have helped me more than anything, I had to learn once I got born again, I was responsible to renew my mind. And then, like I think I said, I mentioned this last week as we've been teaching about how the enemy launching an attack on people's mind. I had to learn that God do the impossible, but I do the possible. It's certain things you got to do. The promise of God is just not going to automatically just manifest. And because we live in a fallen world and we have an adversary who is the devil, he is not going to allow you and I to just walk into things of God without a fight. It's not going to happen, you know. And you have to really come to that. You have to come to the place, you know, okay. How do this thing work? That's why Jesus tell us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we and what it means, one translation, finding our God way of living, find our God way, how God wants us to live on this earth. If you're not trying to seek out God way of living, or what, how God wants you to live on this earth, that's right there, that'll cause you to be defeated. And when Jesus said this, if I think it's the 24th verse, if I'm not making a mistake, when he would talk about that in Matthew, read Matthew the 6th chapter in this entire, he began to talk about, take no thought for your life. And he said, you don't take thought on what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Or better yet, the necessary things of life. For a course of my life, I was spending more time on trying to figure out what I'm going to eat, what I'm aware of, what I'm going to feed my family, how to pay my bills, and all that. That was the necessary things of life. That was not the most needful thing, because our life consists of more than what we eat and what we drink and what we live in. It's more to life than just that. But if you have not got in the Word of God, if you haven't been taught and got some knowledge, that'll be your number one priority, you know. I got bills due. How I'm going to pay my bills? I need food. I need clothes for me and my children. I need somewhere to stay. That's the necessary things of life. But life consists of more than just that. Because you ain't only have a soul and a body, but you is a spirit. And that's why Jesus said on one occasion, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And these are some of the things that we need to really come to grip with so we can experience that abundant life. You know, even on one occasion after Jesus and I fed the people and he went to the other side, he told them, he said, y'all only follow me because I fed you. But Jesus wanted them to realize it's more to life than just what I eat. And that's why he said in Deuteronomy, also he said it in when he was being led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out the mouth of God. And I find out if you walk around and you being defeated and you walk around all the time depressed, stressed out, frustrated, and all of that, that's a sign right there that you lack in knowledge. You lack in information. You lack in knowledge according to what God say about you, you know. And as I stated, I've been in the book of Romans, and I've been doing some study. I've been reading from different translation and different commentary. And God showed me, even with Apostle Paul, because Apostle Paul is the author of Romans. If you read the whole 16th chapter, especially when you get in the 5th, 6th, 7th, they talk about how Paul was having a battle, an internal battle. He was having a battle. Yes, he had not got born again, but Paul was still having a battle, even though he had been delivered from the power of, he didn't have a sin nature no more, but he still was having a battle. And even in this 6th chapter, I'm going to read the 6th chapter from the King James Version. And this, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you. As we go into your word today, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you and declare that he will bring enlightenment, he will bring understanding to this word. I thank you for each and every one that have tuned in to your broadcast today. I bless you and I praise you. I decree and declare that we are covered with the blood. We are covered with the blood. and therefore we'll be able to hear. You said he that have a ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, so we can hear. But I want to talk about this battle. Like I said, when the enemy launch a battle, better yet, the enemy launch attack on your mind, your will, and what you show soul. And so many people, they life in a turmoil. They don't have peace. They don't have peace. They all over the place. They trying to find peace, maybe through alcohol, through drugs, or whatever. You got some saints that done backslid because of ignorance and lack of knowledge. Yes, that's it. Ignorance, lack of faith, lack of knowledge, if you done backslide. Because, listen, life come. Trouble come with life. I had to learn that as well. I couldn't understand even after I got saved for a season. Now I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven. Why I'm still dealing with all of these battles? Why all of this stuff happening to me? Then I had to learn that I had an adversary, and he's after me. The Bible says he go about seeking. He go out to run, seeking who he may devour. He's seeking, he watching us, and he find out your weaknesses. See, you have to learn that, and and I didn't learn it overnight, but it took time. I had to make time to get in the Word. Yes, some people that you might can remember the whole Bible, but if you walking in it, come on, somebody. Yeah, there's a lot of scripture I can quote. But the Lord had to teach me. Now, I'm not, your remembrance, you remember, but you need to know how to walk in it, apply this word to your daily life, to your circumstances, if you want to experience the victory. You know, because the Bible said, don't be just a hearer and no doer. So you need to know. Okay, in Romans the 6th chapter, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There too again, here Paul was talking to the Romans. He was showing them how it works. Come on, somebody. He was showing them how this thing works when it come down to the thanks to God. We living in a time now that people done took the grace message, and they act like the grace message is a license to sin. No, it's not. Please hear me. The grace message is not a license to sin. And this is what Paul, and he pinpointed. He would, no, you do not continue to practice sin. I want you to, here's the difference with somebody practicing sin. When you practice sin, that's a, every time you just sin, and sin is sin. Now, I'm going to go in 3 John, the third chapter, it tells us in that, and this was Apostle John was letting the people know how it worked. He would say, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, come out Christ, whosoever abide him, sin is not. Sin is that when he says sin, he's talking about practicing, living it. Whosoever sinners have not seen him, neither know him. He's talking about practicing sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil. When you see that word committed committed in sin, that means continually, you continually doing it, and this what we need to get this in, rightly divide this word, cause we got too many people out here where ain't we got grace? Yeah, I'm out here fornicating, I'm out here living wrong, I'm out here partying, I'm out here drinking, but don't we have grace? Grace is not a license to sin. I want you to hear me. Grace is not a license to sin. And like I said, people often sometimes make the mistake of seeing grace as a license to do whatever they want to do. Grace is to help us, enable us. Now, yeah, one definition of grace is God unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. I agree with that. One person made the statement, grace is not favor. But the other part of grace is God enabling us with the ability to do right if we want to do right. Now, because some people say, well, you know, I know I fornicate, I know I party, I know I drink. I done had some saints. Yeah, you got some saints drink. Some of them, they party. Yeah, you got some of them fornicate. You have some of them, they shacking. And the enemy done lied to them, done deceived them, and want them to believe it's okay to continue. Once you get born again, now, well, let me read it. Let me go on to read it. He said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And like I said, when he talking about continue to sin, practice sin, keep on sinning. And John was saying that you can't do, if you truly been born of God, you cannot continue to sin or live a lifestyle like that. You cannot continue to do it. That's what he was saying. You cannot continue to practice sin or live a sinful life if you been born again. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's why once you get born again, Paul also said to the Corinthians, if any man in Christ, he a new creation. The old man, that old sin nature, and if we continue in Romans, you'll see that old sin nature, and Apostle Paul was telling them who they was in Christ, what Christ had accomplished through his coming, his death, burial, and resurrection. And he was showing them, even though the sin nature is gone, but we still have the flesh to deal with. But the flesh can be conquered. The flesh can come in total submission. Okay? But this is what he's saying here, you can't. He said, for the purpose of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Look at the ninth verse. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you are born again believer, and you can continue to fornicate, you can continue to shack and stuff, that stuff don't bother you. You need to go back and examine yourself and ask you, have I truly been born again? I don't know about you, but when I miss it, if I said something to people in the wrong voice, I get conviction in my heart. If I said something wrong, the Holy Spirit convict me. I don't enjoy it. I be convicted, you know. But if you know what I hear some people, well, honey, I don't like them, and it don't bother me. I don't care. It's supposed to bother you if you are born again believer and you not living according to this word. It should bother you. It should convict you. You know, but we living in that time. You got some people want to talk about grace. Yeah, I know. I went out last night and I fornicated, I failed, but you know, thank God for grace. God understand it, and God know I don't want to. Listen, y'all, we can say what we want to say, but listen, God judge your motives. God looking at your heart. God looking at why you say, why are you doing? I could say something to you. Oh, you know, God know I love you, and God know this. But deep down in my heart, I can have maybe animosity. Come on. I have unforgiveness in my heart against you. See, God know that. And that's something when the Holy Ghost really brought that conviction to me, and I know your heart. It have been, and I'm going to be honest, and that's why I thank God for being transparent. It have been a time I said something, and the Holy Spirit said, you don't mean that. Come on, somebody. Yeah, see, that's the thing. You can't hide from God. Some people say, I ain't trying. You know what I also found out? If you truly been born again and you truly want to please God, you will care. Anytime you love somebody, you concern about what they think and how they feel about you. and you don't want to displease them. You want to please them. You want to bring joy and peace to. That's why the first and the greatest commandment that we have to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That's the beginning of. He said, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That means you don't supposed to have a practice of sin. Just living in it, keep doing it, and it don't bother you. You just keep lying, you keep cursing, you drinking, you shacking. And if it's not bothering you, you're not convicted by. Now I know you can walk on rebellion so much that your heart, you know, I know that. But you shouldn't you it should bother you, it should disturb you. And he could not say, and this the truth, look what he said in that temper. Now John said, in this the children of God is manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, we live in a time when the enemy wants us, his number one goal is to draw us away from God anyway. But he wants us to get way out here in left field. Oh, you ain't got to love them. Yes, you do. God command us to love ye one another. He didn't only command us, but God have graced us and put his agape love on the inside of us that I can love you. God have graced us with the ability, the power, enable us that we can forgive as often as we need to forgive. We can live right. Now, look like I'm going to let God take me a different way. Well, Lord, whatever you say, I say. Amen. Now, I'm going to read some notes. I like, y'all know Prophet Miller, she'll read some notes. I like to read some notes. John said, no one who sinned is living in sin, have seen and continue to see God, nor have he know and continue to know him. This can be applied either to those who have never had real faith in Christ or who knew God in the past but have not continued knowing him do not know him continually. John also emphasized that one truly born of God cannot make sin his way of life because the life of God cannot exist in one who practices sin. He's talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cannot be in you if you walk around here living a sinful life like it's okay. It's not okay. And then saying you born again. No. This was confusing to the world. Because listen, somebody is always watching you. Now don't forget God watching you too. But somebody else is watching you. Okay? Because it said the new birth produced spiritual life result in ever-present relationship with God. And there too again. But I want to show you that because, like I said, I have a lot. Well, you know, we got grace. But Paul is saying here in Romans 6 chapter, he is saying that we do not supposed to continue to practice sin. And like I said, Paul was showing how God had delivered us from the power of sin, which is the sin nature. But after we be delivered from the sin nature, once we find out what it is, then we got to find out, well, how do I live now? But now, if I've been delivered, and for years I wrestled this, now if I've been delivered from a sin nature, and what that was, before you got born again, you find yourself drawn to always doing what was wrong. It even got a time you didn't want to. But let me tell you something, I found out something else. Even once you get saved, if you do not know how to identify yourself or come in agreement what Christ have did for you, if you don't have a knowledge, understanding, and a revelation, you're going to still find yourself. And that's why the Bible said if we miss it. I don't practice sin, but if I miss it, we can go and confess it to the Father, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse me from it. I still have certain thoughts, the outward man. And see, this is something that a lot of times people don't really, you still got flesh to deal with. we still have flesh to deal with. Hear me. We still have flesh to deal with. That bring me to, let's go to 1 John, the second chapter. We're going to go to 1 John, the second chapter. Now, like I said, I'm talking to born-again believers because I know you have a battle with your flesh. All us do. But you need to know our flesh can be brought under total submission. Listen at me. Your flesh and my flesh can be brought under total submission to the Holy Spirit. Flesh do not, listen at me good, flesh do not have dominion over your spirit unless you allow it. We can put our flesh in its place. That's why Paul said, I keep my body. He's talking about the flesh, because flesh have desires. He said, I keep my flesh under subjection that when I don't preach the other, I won't be a guest. He made sure his flesh was submissive to the spirit. And this is what Paul was having to deal with. And he was trying to show the people. He went through a struggle, but he found out through Christ how to do it. Because we all have flesh desire, whether you save or not save. The only difference is once you get saved, thanks be to God, because we don't have a sin nature. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit that is on us. He helped us with our flesh desires, that the flesh don't overpower us or overwhelm us. That's why when you go in Galatians, Paul would tell in the Galatians, if you sow to your flesh, come on now, if you sow to those flesh desires, come on, if you continue to let your flesh dictate, listen, flesh will dictate to you if you let it. That's why Paul said when you have time, you can go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and Paul was telling them, he even started in the first verse, he was telling them they need to be steadfast in Galatians, the fifth chapter. He was telling them that they need to stand steadfast in the liberty wherewith they have in Christ. But he will also let them know, even though that we've been delivered from the power of sin, we've been delivered not only from a sin nature, but we have been delivered from the power that would cause us to allow our flesh to dominate us. We've been delivered from that, okay? If you would go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, the 10 verses. I like to show it to you in the Word. In Galatians 5:3, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Your flesh, that's why you find yourself when somebody mistreats you, offend you, you might have a tendency, oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. That's your flesh tendency. Your flesh still be wanting to get revenge, but you can bring it right back on the total submission. No, I'm not going to do that. I love God, and God tell me to forgive, and I have to be quick to forgive. And you bring your flesh tendency right back and submit it to the Holy Spirit, and that's when you can submit. When you submit and do it the way God say do, guess what? You have power to resist the enemy, because the devil come through the outward man. He come through the flesh. Yeah, he targets your mind, but his interest is through your flesh. Them flesh desire. He loved to do. That's how he got Eve. That's how he got Eve. See, Eve didn't know nothing about sin, but he talked her out the victory by showing her. Look at that fruit. Now, some said, what's the apple? I don't know what it was. I haven't saw specific in the Bible that it specified what it was. But that's what the enemy will use. He has to make it so appealing. But I want to show you this. And then I'm in Galatians, the fifth chapter. But if you drop down to the 19th verse, he tells the work of the flesh. And I'm telling you, our flesh, our man, have desires. And that's what Paul would let them know. That war in me, but I found out. And for a long time when I read this, I thought he was talking to unbelievers. But God began to, no, he's talking to believers. And you got some believers you still have in battle and with your flesh desires, and you trying to figure out, what do I do? I know I want to do right. I have mind-binding thoughts. I have all of these evil thoughts. I find myself that you have a learned issue, yeah, how to identify yourself with what Christ have done for you. I don't define myself according to my outward man. I define myself according to what Christ have been. I've been totally redeemed. I've been totally sanctified. Come on, son. I've been totally resurrected. But if I define myself according to how I feel, come on, somebody. And see, that's what the enemy, that's his interest. He can get us to go by what we think and we feel. But let me go back. I'm in 1 John now, the second chapter. And I take, you ought to go and read 1 John and 2 John always. And he got some good stuff in here because he's dealing with Antichrist. And y'all, Antichrist means somebody without Christ, somebody in denial of it, don't think they need Christ. You know, let's keep it simple and not complicated so people can better understand. And I pray that God helping me to keep it simple with you that have tuned in. Okay, in 1 John, the second chapter, it said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and not is not of the Father, but of the world. And listen, don't let nobody make you think. None of us exempt from the lust. Come on, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That listen, our flesh would lust to do all of that, but we got the Holy Spirit in us that calls us. I'm gonna read it from one of my commentary Bibles and stuff. Like I said, I like to show people, show it to you in the Word, because sometimes people say, that's what you think. No, that ain't what I think. That ain't what I think. He said, do not love the world. When John talk about the world, he's not talking about the planet Earth. He is talking about an organized system headed by Satan that draw us away from God's love and will. If we love the world, we will lose intimate fellowship with God. We love in the world when it owes your affection and govern your choice by getting you to exclude God. And that's why the Bible even tells us in the last days, do not allow yourself to get overwhelmed with the cares of the world. Jesus put it this way in Matthew. He said, the cares of the world will choke the word out of you. It will. You can't allow yourself to get overwhelmed and how I'm going to pay my bills and this and that. I mean, the necessary things of life. But we have to really, as Paul said in Colossians, we need to set our affection on things above. We got to make sure we constantly focus on God, what you want. We got to constantly focus on and continue to develop a greater relationship with God. Because God will help us. That we can ignore, no, we could resist what the world have to offer. The world, if you sit down and listen, I don't know about you, but when you look at the news, and if you ain't rooted and grounded in the world, it's going to always show you something to draw you away from God or question God. Question God loyalty. Question God integrity. Oh, yes, it will. He said, what does the world offer you? First, it promised to satisfy legitimate desires by the lust of the flesh. You know, just like, and I'm finna say this, y'all, I like to eat. I like food, too. Please hear me. But if you ain't careful, the enemy will have you to eat yourself into sickness or open up yourself to some kind of disease. Now, I know when I was growing up, I know the food, the way they process food now, it's not the way they did when I was a child. That's been over 60-some years ago. But at the same time, the Bible said neither give place to the devil, because the devil always trying to find a way to get in. my time about up, and I ain't even really late the foundation like I want to. But anyway, okay, he said, the lust that I, other word, he said, that it's covetous. You ever done went in a store and know you ain't got, and God, I got delivered. Lust of the problem, the lust of the eye. Everything I seen, I wanted to buy. You ever done been there? I'm trying to help you. You go in the store. I go in the store. I like shoes. And I be wanting to buy shoes. And the Lord had to show me. He said, every time you go in the store, even a grocery store, I be lusting after food. Now, some said, now you act like that's wrong. I'm trying to show you. If you start letting your flesh have its way, and it want everything it sees, you will find yourself when you try to get in the word and read the word. And let me give another example. You ever done sit and watch TV all day long, maybe 5 or 6 hours? Then you try to go right in there and try to read your word, and it seems like it ain't making sense. Or better yet, you just can't stay focused. Either if not that, you'll go to sleep. See, that's what the enemy likes. That's why I have been sitting down. And maybe when I get ready to go on a fast and I find myself, certain food, God will tell me not to eat. And then I find myself, maybe the first 2 days, it's a battle because my flesh wants everything. And the food ain't never smelled better than when it's time to fast. Or you need to, exclude that on your diet. But that's the way that, and I'm telling you, Paul, God got rid of your sin. They said, that's the point I'm really trying to make. But you still have the flesh desires to deal with. You still have the flesh desires to deal with, but you need to know that because of Christ, you can overcome it. You can bring your flesh desires under total submission. Come on now. That's the point I'm trying to get over today. And like I said, that's what I want you about, the pride of life. That is to impress others. What those in love with the world forget, however, is that the world with its lust is passing away. Worldliness make the now more important than eternal. And you got some sanctuary. All of us have to be careful. We can't get so focused on this world or overwhelmed with what's happening on this. We forget about eternity, and we don't prepare ourselves for eternity. Listen, and I say this. It's nothing wrong with prosperity, but God ain't never told us to sue prosperity. A lot of people look at prosperity as a fat bank account. Y'all listen, God don't mind you having a nice home, a nice automobile, nice clothes. God don't have no problem with that, but he don't want it to have you. He don't want that to be your number one priority. Because the Bible says he that seek to be, to be rich, he sees from wisdom. Our number one goal is to constantly focus, how can I please God? And in pleasing God, we'll find fulfillment. In pleasing God, we'll be able, by the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, will enable us that we can resist and we won't get caught up or get snared up. Would want to please us. Jesus even said on one occasion, if you're going to follow after me, you got to deny yourself. Self do not want to be denied. You ever noticing, a lot of times God wakes me up between after 12, between 2 and 3 o'clock. God wakes me up. And if I ain't careful, I had to learn this because the Lord, he said, now watch this. My flesh will want my attention first before I even pray. I want some water. And I had to say, wait a minute, we're going to pray first, and then we'll go excuse ourselves, but we're going to pray first. If not that, a lot of time I have my phone on my nightstand, and if I leave it on, most of the time I try to cut on, but if I leave it on, I find myself checking, message. Do I have any email? Checking my email list. If I ain't careful, the flesh desire to try to overwhelm me and want me to go through that phone and not get in my word. But the point I want to make to you is that can be a battle. If you allow your flesh, just like I said in Galatians, if you allow your flesh, even though you're born again, if you don't bring those fleshy desires under total submission, to your spirit, man. What the Holy Spirit is in us, in that new man, all of that's there. If you don't bring it, and it's your responsibility to do it. Sometimes I'm telling you, I'm not saying don't watch your TV. I'm not saying not doing that, because that's between you and God. I was listening to Brother Benny Hinn, and he said, God spoke through Marilyn Hickey. He said, I don't watch TV. He said, I read the word. I cut off cable. I did all that. Now, I ain't there, and I ain't telling you to go there, because you have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, we have to live by what the word says. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to keep our flesh under totally submissive by the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? What he want me to do? But if you sit around and watch TV all day, and when it's time to get in the word, when it's time to meditate on the word, you can't focus. Your focus sometimes is off. Amen, somebody? But this is what I'm saying. And this is what, like I said, I want to show you this. And this is what, that's why we start off with, Paul said, shall we continue sin? He said, no, God forbid. And then he gone to say, we are people who was, see, we were a people who, as born-again believers, we were baptized with Christ. We were co-buried with him, co-resurrected with him. So when all of us was baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. And see, there too again, we have to identify ourselves and see ourselves through what Christ did for us. And the more we meditate on that and stop meditating on how I feel and what I see, this is where the enemy, got so many things confused. Well, if I'm saved, why I find myself with tendencies? I want to do this. I want to do that. That's the outward man. That's the flesh tendencies, because you still have the flesh. You don't have a sin nature, but you still have your flesh. That's why Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you condemned Christians. He said, where envy and strife is, you are condemned Christians, because they was allowed their flesh to continue. Come on, somebody. They was allowed their flesh to dominate them. And like I said, for a season, I was confused about this. And I know I'm saved. But why, when somebody make me angry, I have this tendency to want to get revenge. Where I read, the Bible said the wrath of man don't work the righteousness of God. And then I got in that fight, and he said, neither give place to the devil. Then as I just read to you, the Bible said, don't make no provision for your flesh. Now God said, I can get angry, but sin not. That means if I get angry, it's my responsibility through the Holy Spirit to control my anger. Don't get, you know, some people get angry and they go, honey, that evil spirit will come in there, and the next thing you know, they'll be not did something they regret, or they'll be not said something. And I'm telling you, you don't have a sin nature, but you still have your flesh. And Paul said, see, when I identify myself with Christ, he said, now my flesh been crucified. That means because I don't have a sin, I can control the flesh desires or the flesh tendency. It can be controlled. But the enemy will have you believe, well, now, if you were saved, you wouldn't think like that. If you were saved, you wouldn't be doing this. If you were saved, a lot of time it just that you allow your flesh to dominate you, even though the Holy Spirit in you. And because as I in the beginning of the teaching, we started from Isaiah, the first chapter, the 18th verse, when he tell us, if we willing and obedient. And y'all, I'm telling you, please hear me. God that did everything he gonna do, you and I have to choose as an act of our will, not only to know what God said, but to do it. And if we're willing to do it, the power will be, we'll activate the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and it will cause us to do what God wants us to do. Stop letting the enemy make you feel you are defeated. I can't do nothing right. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I'm just so we know the greater one is in you. The Bible tells us that we have to guard our heart because I didn't come to issue life. The Bible says, I thank in my heart. I can thank ice cream and my favorite butter pecan, and I in my face said, go get it. If ain't nothing in the house, I want to run to the store and get a box. Come on, somebody, but are you following what I'm saying? What are you saying? I'm saying the greater one is in you, but you having a battle with your flesh. But you need to know you have authority over your flesh desires. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but you got to renew your mind and keep your mind renewed. Paul even said this way. He said, don't be conformed to the world system. You know, and y'all, it's easy to do. Before I got my mind renewed by Jesus took my infirmity, bore my sickness, and by his stripes I'm healed. Every time a pain hit me, I wanted to run to the doctor. Please rightly divide. It's nothing wrong with the doctors. I go to them. I have 2 doctor appointments coming up. But it's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But once I got my mind renewed that what Jesus did for me at Calvary, and it's for me today, and today I begin to speak the word. The moment a symptom, the moment I have a pain, I begin to speak the word of God. Y'all, this is important because, like I said, it's too many saints is walking around and crying out to God saying, what's wrong with me? And the devil trying to convince you that you is a sinner. And like I said, yeah, we miss it sometimes, but as I showed you from 1 John, we don't practice sin. We don't live in sin. No, we don't do that. But we do miss it. Because if you around somebody that use profanity, if you around somebody like that you profane, if you ain't careful, you'll find yourself want to do it too. Come on now. You can. That's what I'm saying. Once you open yourself up and let your flesh dumb it and Jesus, it's an enemy to God. Our flesh is always warring against what God wants. My soul is in the middle of my spirit in my body. And every one of them had to go through my soul. The spirit man. What God wants me to do, it has to go through my soul. My flesh has to go through my soul because that's where my will and my emotions at. Do you not know you can control your emotion? Oh, yes, you can. That's what you have the power, the ability. You have all of that to do it. But there, too, again, if you not, just better yet, meditating and putting this word to prayer, you ain't going to get anywhere. And like I said, I'm going to continue with this because I'm telling you, it'll help you. It'll help you, but you need to know first of all, if you've been born again, you don't have a sin nature no more. You can do every command that God requires you to do in this world, you can do it. And that's why sometimes I had to learn fast and don't change God, it changed me. Because guess what? Everything I need to be successful, to prosper on this earth, it been given to me through Christ. But I have to learn how to walk in it and cause it to manifest in my life. In the first place, I got to renew my mind. I got to get in this Bible and say what God say about me. Well, first find out what he say, then I got to put it into practice. You know, I go walking every day, and some mornings, y'all, I'm going to tell you, my flesh don't want to walk. But I know, I just said, Father, and Jesus, that helped me today, I'm going to walk. And I just get up, and at first, you don't need to do it. Sometimes it can be, you know, causing my flesh to come under subject. But once I get out there, I just walk and walk and walk. And I thank God for it. That by like when David said in one of the psalms, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He repeated himself. Have you ever noticed sometimes your flesh don't want to bless him? You don't want to praise him? You don't want to give thanks? You don't want to read? That's your flesh. But guess what? You can overcome it by keeping your spirit. And the more I feed my spirit, or better yet, the more I yield to my spirit, man, the stronger it gets. And what it does, it'll bring the flesh under control. you ever done went out and I like buffet. I like a buffet restaurant. Yes, I do. You know, some people say they don't need to have buffet because they tempt people to eat too much. No, do you not know as a born-again believer, God wants you to have control over what you eat? And I have some people say you eat moderation. That's good. But everybody's body don't receive food the same way or digest it the same way. But guess what? The point I'm trying to make to you this morning is that you and I have total control over our flesh desires, our flesh tendency. You have it. You have authority over it. But if you yield to it so long, just like if you start meditating on offenses and what somebody done did to you, you're going to find yourself, you'll suppress the spirit, you'll ignore it, you'll rebel against this, what God is telling you to do about that person or that situation, and you'll find yourself doing what your flesh wants. Because flesh is saying, I'm going to get you. Yeah, saints, we want to get rid of it. That's the point I'm trying to make. We don't have a sin nature, but we still have the flesh. And flesh have desires. And those desires is contrary to what God wants you to do. They'll cause you to rebel against him. Come on now. Just like the devil. The devil was trying to get Jesus to eat before it was time. Ain't this amazing? He had to, before he went in the wilderness to be tempted, he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He got baptized to be filled. Well, it's the same way with you and I. We ain't no match for the devil or our flesh if we ain't been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps me and you to keep our flesh on the total submissive to the Trinity. Don't you know you say you can still rebel against the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I know. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do it. Listen, when you rebel, knowing to do good and not to do it, that's rebellious, and that's sin. You can rebel, but guess what? You're going to suffer the consequences. And Paul told Galatians, he said, now, if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Because you can't, listen, you can't satisfy your flesh. You can't please it. Maybe a month or two, about 2 months ago, I had some butter pecan ice cream. My flesh, I want more ice cream. You have to tell your flesh, no, we're not going to do it. And if you tell it no enough, because the Holy Spirit, the power of God that is on the inside of you, if you tell it no long, it'll stop. Now, it might come back up, but guess what? It'll stop. But at first, if you normally and constantly yielding to your flesh desires, the more you yield, the more you want to yield. The more you neglect reading your Bible, the more you want to yield. And it'll come to you don't even have a desire to read it. Come on, somebody. It's just like some people, if you ain't in control, you miss one Sunday. If you ain't careful, it's easy to miss the next Sunday. The enemy start talking to you before Sunday, because you open the door. You don't need to go today. You know you tired. Now, you know God give you common sense. You'll be not opening the door to him. I might talk about that the next time. But the point is, even though we don't have a sin nature, but we still have the flesh, you need to know what to do with these flesh tendencies, how you can bring it under submission to the Holy Spirit. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Father, I pray that you continue to bring enlightenment and understanding when it comes down to our spirit man and our flesh desires. Enjoy the rest of your day.